Good evening. A little early to wish a happy Independence Day, but I'll wish you that anyway. So, I've titled the message tonight, The Christian Citizen, and it seemed like an appropriate theme to me, considering we're approaching Independence Day soon. As I thought about celebrating our nation, celebrating the gifts that we have as Americans, I thought about the Apostle Paul and how, for him, how important it was for him to instruct believers about Christian living, about being subjects in the Roman Empire, how they should be concerned with their duties and their obligations to the nation. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, as much as Paul was instructing that of people, how much more should we be concerned with our duties as citizens? See, for Paul, for a lot of the people he was writing to, they were subjects of an empire. They didn't have the freedoms, for the most part, many of them anyway, didn't have the freedoms that we have as citizens in this country. They had no hand at all, for the most part. The people had no hand at forming policies or the future of their country. And we have so many privileges here to not only have an impact on the policies and the laws, but to actually the privilege of participating in those, that we can actually hold offices. And we have so much to be thankful for here in America. As Christians that are also American citizens, you know, we care about this country because this country's people. You know, we have the love that Jesus Christ has for the people around us, and so we care about people in poverty. We care about people who don't have enough food. We empathize. Our heart aches for those who are treated unfairly or maybe don't receive justice. You know, we are concerned with the innocent, that they're protected, that we have a system of law and order in this nation that protects those who can't protect themselves. We want to see a good education system. We want to see a good judicial system. We want to see political opportunities for all citizens to participate in these things. We want to see an end to racism. It matters how we live out our Christian faith as citizens in this country. This evening we're going to look at Romans 13, if you'd like to turn there. I do have slides tonight, Lord willing, if the slides work. But I'm using tonight the Message translation, Eugene Peterson's Message translation, which is a little different than some of the others. And I compared some different translations, and I didn't want you to miss out. I thought the wording on this was really good. But I do encourage you, whatever translation you're comfortable with, if you like NASB or NIV, KJV, use whatever speaks to you. Is fine this evening, but I just wanted to give you a heads up which translation I'm using. Romans 13, we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. And let me just pray for us before we get into the Word. Not that Tony's prayer didn't stick, because it was good, but Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for this country. Thank you, Lord, that you have placed each of us in this country for a reason, God. Just like you invite each of us to come together as your church, as a family, for a purpose, God, you have placed us in this nation, in America, as citizens, for a purpose. God, thank you that you founded this country on principles of freedom and democracy and justice and equality, and especially, God, that you founded this country on an acknowledgement that you are sovereign, God, that you are sovereign not only over individuals, but you are sovereign over nations, God, that you're the one who makes nations rise and fall according to your will. But, Father, we do confess, and we ask for your forgiveness, and we receive it, God, that we do fall short of the opportunity that you've given us here at times, God, to represent you, to be ambassadors for your eternal kingdom, God, to the people in this land. Father, we ask, even though we don't deserve it, Lord, we ask that you would preserve the blessings of liberty to us preserve in your grace, in your mercy, Lord, your blessings in this nation for our children and for our grandchildren, God. But even more than that, Father, we ask tonight that you would send your Spirit forth across this land through your church, God, to draw many to you, Lord, that multitudes would forsake sin and embrace Jesus Christ as their Savior. In whose name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, starting in verse 1 of Romans 13, and again, you might have to do a double take back and forth if you're looking at your Bible you brought with you from the message, unless you brought that with you tonight. This is verses 1 through 3. The Apostle Paul writes, "Be a good citizen. Be a good citizen. All governments are under God. All governments are under God. Insofar as there is peace and order, it is God's order. So live responsibly as a citizen. If you're irresponsible to the state, then you're irresponsible to God. And God will hold you responsible. Duly constituted authorities are only a threat if you're trying to get by with something. Decent citizens should have nothing to fear." So just looking at those first few verses tonight, I want us to recognize a few things in Scripture that are being communicated that's important as citizens that God wants us to pick up on. And the first is that government is ordained of God. Government is ordained of God. Well, what does that mean? That means that every citizen, every person is to be subject to the government. Christians are not to be anarchist. Government is part of God's design. Government is part of God's plan. Now, Paul is not saying here that government leaders have a divine right to be in control. Sometimes those leaders need to be replaced. And he's not saying that they're infallible. Sometimes we get some really bad leaders. And they're not necessarily good just because God has placed them there. Sometimes he places them there as a judgment, but a needed judgment. Paul also doesn't say here that citizens cannot overturn a government when that government ceases to be servants of God and becomes servants of Satan. If a government becomes so bent on opposition to God and evil, Paul's not saying that we have to support that government. But he's giving us guiding principles. God, through the apostles, giving us these general statements, these guiding principles, that government is part of God's design. It's part of his plan, not only for this world, but the world to come. There is government. Verses 3 through 5. Do you want to be on good terms with the government? Be a responsible citizen, and you'll get on just fine. The government working for your advantage, or they're supposed to. But if you're breaking the rules, right and left, watch out. The police aren't there just to be admired for their uniforms. God also has an interest in keeping order. I mean, do you know he's a God of order? He is not a God of chaos. He has an interest in keeping order, and he uses the police. He uses the government to preserve order. That's why you must live responsibly. Not just to avoid punishment, but also because it's the right way to live. It's the right way to live. Another reason why government is ordained of God, and what that means is that government is an instrument of God. Government is an instrument of God. God's purpose through the state is to promote good and restrain evil. That through the government, God wants to promote and aid in the good prospering in a nation and to restrain and to punish evil. Governments are ordained of God to help the citizens collectively, hopefully, accomplish the greatest good. If they're in alignment with his will, that'll certainly happen. And God wants to prevent those who are evil. And we know that none but Christ is good, but maybe you've been around long enough to know there are those who are wolves among sheep. There are those who are bent on evil. And the Lord uses the laws and the law enforcement to restrain that evil and to help protect the innocent. Now, assuming that the government is fulfilling its purpose or trying to fulfill the purpose that God gave them, one reason for obeying the laws would be fear of punishment. But for Christians, there's a better motive. And that's namely that being a good citizen is part of being a good Christian. That they go hand in hand. Romans 12:18 tells us, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Live at peace with everyone. God wants Christians to live among other citizens in a way that shows evidence by that peace in their life, by that grace in their life, by the hope that they have that demonstrates the evidence that He is with us, that He's real and that He is for us and demonstrates the change that He can make, the change that He has made in our lives, right? I mean, if you know Christ as your Savior, I hope you have a changed life, because you should. It should look very different from what it did before you met Jesus and He saved you. God wants people to see that, and that's part of good citizenship. People should see that. Verses 6 and 7. That's also why you pay taxes, so that an orderly way of life can be maintained. Fulfill your obligations as a citizen. Pay your taxes. Pay your bills. Respect your leaders. And here God's instructing us in our duties, not just as citizens, but as Christian citizens. He's speaking to believers. And He's giving us some of the duties as Christian citizens. And He tells us, obey the laws. Obey the laws. Christians are to obey the laws. And sometimes those laws are stupid, honestly. Sometimes they are. I used to have a book, and I don't know what happened to it. Maybe Mom knows where this is. But I remember when we were kids, we had this book. It was like the 100 stupidest real laws that exist. And it was so funny. I remember one of them was that it is illegal in San Francisco to shoot rabbits from the trolley cars. Like, why would they need to pass that, you know? There was another law in Nebraska or somewhere where it's illegal to bring your cow to school with you. Now, they actually had to pass a law for that. And there's more and more and more. But no matter how foolish a law is or trivial it may seem, for conscience' sake, we are to obey the law. Whether we think we'll get caught or not for disobeying it. If the speed limit, and I know, guilty. And I'm just going to brag on my brother Tony, because I know you take this seriously to honor God. And I love that about you. That's awesome. If the speed... No, to Tony's... Yeah, just in case you don't know Tony, I'm just telling you. I know that his heart is to keep that law to honor Christ. And I love that. And I know that he probably shaking his head when he's been following me to get somewhere sometime, and I'm going 57. He's thinking, what is Pastor thinking? But listen, we should not obey the speed limit. We really, all joking aside, we really shouldn't. If we think as Christian citizens that 55 is stupid, let's work to get the law changed. But until the law is passed where it's 60 or 65, go 55. Because as Christians, we want to honor Christ by keeping the laws. You know, you can contact your legislator and share your views and say 70 is much more reasonable. But until it's changed, we need to obey the law. Every person is subject to the laws and authorities. And if we're not, then it's chaos. If we're not, it is disorder. If not, there's no integrity and no trust in the government if we're allowed to just do whatever we want to do. There's no order. There's no peace that God wants us to have. Now, there are exceptions to that guideline, to this matter of obeying the government. When the government attempts to exercise authority that God has not given to the government, it's a different matter. If the federal government passes a law that prohibits the preaching of the gospel, there are countries where this has happened, There's countries where Christianity was prospering 30 years ago, where they've passed those laws. Our obedience and our loyalty to God takes precedent over any law passed by any government. When the government sets itself up as being above God and above His authority, our obligation is to the Lord. When the government acts foolishly and tries to legitimize sin or legislate that sin is okay, and I'll just give you one example, there are many, but just to say, redefining marriage. God's made very clear His stance on marriage because He created it. He created it for a purpose. And it's very clear in His Word what that is. When the government passes laws that obviously contradict the Lord, as if they have an authority over His authority, we need to respectfully and faithfully live out what God says, His will, His ways, His Word. And in love, we need to speak the truth. In love, we need to speak the truth, not as hypocrites who have no sin in our lives, ready to cast the first stone at somebody else because we've got a plank in our eye and think we can do that. But speaking the truth, nonetheless, speaking the truth in love and never, ever, ever compromising on what God has made clear in His Word for any reason, for anyone. The apostles Peter and John, they faced a situation like this. They went in front of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish rulers. I think I've got a slide for this. But the Sanhedrin didn't like that they were preaching Jesus. To stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them. So this is the Sanhedrin talking about the apostles. We must warn them. Speak no longer in this name. Now Jesus had given them marching orders to proclaim Him. They're being commanded by the government. Speak no longer in this name. This is from Acts 4. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to listen to Him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. We're not going to shut up about Jesus. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, no matter what laws you pass, no matter how much you threaten, we're going to do what God wants us to do. But we are called to honor those in authority. Even when we disagree with them, even when they pass stupid laws, we are called to honor those in authority. Whether that's senators or congressmen, whether that is judges, whether that is the law enforcement officer who pulled you over doing 56 and a 55, we are to honor those in authority. And I think especially those who put their lives on the line for us. When you think about the police and the fire department and how every day they don't know if they're going to go home because they're putting their neck out for you and me. We need to honor them for their service in our community and to our families. So how do we honor them as Christians? How do we honor those in authority? 1 Timothy 2 verses 1 through 4 tells us, I urge then first of all that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. First and foremost, we are commanded to honor those in authority, and we do that by praying for them. The Word makes it very clear. No matter what political party they belong to, no matter what their policies are, no matter what label the media throws at them, whether you like how they're dressed or not, it doesn't matter. Pray for them. God commands it. Pray for them. Not just that He'll fix them. Maybe that too. But pray for them. Heartfelt. Just as you would have someone pray for you. Pray for them. But there's other things we can do. You know, we can assist in their duties. In recent times at the movie theaters, I think most of the time whenever I go, I hear that, Jesse, you probably remember this, where they say, if you see something, say something, or what's the slogan? He used to work there. Yeah. Yeah, they recommend, and it's cooperating. They have an officer there, but they want you to help. If you see something unusual, let the officer know about it. You know, we all need to be aware and vigilant that there are ways that maybe we can be a help to law enforcement or other folks. You know, maybe it's reporting that pothole to the proper agency or whatever it may be. But there's ways that are just small ways that we can be helpful. And we need to assist when we can. You know, another way to help with all authority, I have no idea. I mean, I have a general idea of what some of the public servants, what they make. But really, I don't know what they all get, all the people who serve the city of Kokomo and do these things. But if they're in authority and they are a servant to the public, they should get a fair wage for that. And I have a say in it, in this country, in this community, that where we can vote. And so we should do what we can to honor them by making sure they get a decent wage and good benefits for what they're doing. Making sure, again, our military especially, make sure they're well-funded. Write your senator, your congressman. They need the funds to be safe and to carry out their duties. And we have a say in that. And so a way we can honor our servicemen and women is to write or send an email to a congressperson and say, hey, I want to make sure that we're adequately giving them what they need. And then when they come home, to get the health care they need to take care of them. And that's another way as a Christian we can do what the Word tells us to do. Honor those who are in authority. Just very quickly, a few other things we can do as citizens, our duties that we have, pay your taxes. Be a good idea. You know, it's a privilege in a representative government that we're blessed with. We have so much freedom that the Apostle Paul, where he was living and what he was writing about, that he didn't experience. We get to elect people, yes, but those people legislate our taxes, and we need to pay those taxes. You know, we can vote here. How many miss out on that opportunity, though? What a blessing and really a duty to vote and to be informed. Jury duty. I know there's probably a few snickers there. I got out of jury duty once or twice, but I had a legitimate reason. I'll tell you about it later if you want to hear about it. But we need to be willing to serve, not just be served. And part of serving is jury duty. Another way to serve is really defending people. Maybe for a young person here, that means going into law enforcement. Maybe that means going into the military. There are times I still think about it. I think I'm in my mid-50s. I mean, Uncle Sam doesn't want me. But there's still moments where I think, well, maybe if I started jogging now, by my next birthday, you know, I could... What? Oh, because I was colorblind? Yeah. I did try to enlist, but they declined me for the job I was going in for because of my colorblindness. But that was a long time ago, and they probably forgot, so I could probably get in now. but, you know, I think about Jesus. In Luke 12:39, Jesus said that if a good man has a house and he'd known the hour that a thief was going to come, that he would have been watchful so that the house wouldn't suffer loss. And what Jesus was saying there, he's saying, you know, it's okay to resist evil. It's okay to protect yourself and your family. It's okay to defend those who can't defend themselves. And we have a right to protect our families. We have a right to defend our communities. You know, there are those that the enemy works through, even though our enemy is not flesh and blood, but he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Sometimes he does it through people who want to cooperate with that. It's okay to resist evil. That's my take on it anyway. But the family, the church, the state, these are all institutions that exist as part of God's design for us in this world. And ideally, you can be a good member of the church, you can be a good member of your family, you can be a good member in your country, a good citizen, a faithful citizen, without contradiction, hopefully. But whenever any of those oversteps their authority that God has given them, Whenever authority acts in a way that is wicked or sinful or opposed to God, we always have our top loyalty to God. I read an example of the higher rule overruling a lesser rule. There was a man working at the YMCA. He was speaking to this 13-year-old boy. And this 13-year-old boy was telling him, he said, you know, I know God wants me to mind my mom, but my mom's a prostitute. And she's telling me I have to solicit business for her, that I have to approach people on her behalf. And he trusted this older man there at the Y, and he said, do I have to do what my mom's telling me I have to do? And the man wisely told him that he didn't have to do what his mom was saying, because what his mom wanted him to do was a wicked thing that was absolutely outside of God's will and God's plan. If the church or the state steps out of bounds of the area where they have responsibility that God has given them and tries to implement any rule that is contradictory to the Word of God, then as a follower of Jesus, you have to obey God. Recently, we had a message that spoke about marriage, Christian marriage, and how God has a concern for marriage, how Christian marriage matters to God, because God has a higher purpose in marriage, even though he not only created it, but it's an illustration of the relationship between Christ and his church. Us and Jesus. Your citizenship matters to God. Your citizenship as an American matters to God because he has a very important purpose for you as a Christian citizen. You know, we live in a nation where these days, if we're honest, people worship a whole lot of things other than God. People believe a whole lot of things that they call truth that are lies. There's a lot of rejecting of truth, a lot of worshiping of idols. The Apostle Paul, when he was in Athens, he spent some time there and he was observing that the people there worshipped all these different things. You know, they didn't have internet or iPhones or whatever they were worshipping, or Netflix, but they had all this stuff that took up all this time in their life instead of them seeking the one true God, because they didn't know him. In Acts 17, 23 through 28, the word tells us, for while I was passing through and examining the objects you worship, and here Paul is talking to the leaders here in Athens, and he says, I was passing through, I was examining these objects that you worshipped, I found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything. Since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things, and he made from one man, Adam, every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, and don't miss this, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. What Paul's saying here is that God, in his sovereignty, has placed you in the exact time you live in for a reason. There's a reason why you didn't exist in a different century. He chose you for this time. He chose the boundaries of your habitation. You are an American because God chose you to be here in this time as an American citizen. And he has a purpose behind it. It's not on accident. Having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, why? That the people, that they would seek God and reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. God has placed people in the time and the place where they live so that they will seek God and they will find Him. And for those of us who have already sought Him and found Him, our job as Christians is to make Him known. That the culture around us, God has placed the people around us here so that they would seek Him and find Him, and we have to be faithful to proclaim Him so that that can happen. Our duty as Christian citizens is to be good and faithful witnesses to those around us. Jesus has made you a citizen of America so that you proclaim Him to the people of America, your mission field, and that you make disciples. Isn't that awesome? That emboldens me. When I'm out at the restaurant and the guy taking my order doesn't even speak English, and I think, you know what, there's a language gap here, but not for the Holy Spirit. And I'm here, God handpicked me for this time and this place, and I'm going to make Him known to people because He wants me to. And He's going to make it happen. And it's the same for you. And as wonderful as that is to know, this nation's not here forever. It's temporary. There's only one kingdom that's eternal. Praise the Lord. It's cool that He made you an American, but how awesome is it that He made you for that eternal kingdom? How much better? There is one kingdom that is eternal. There is one authority, Jesus Christ, that is eternal. And our highest loyalty is always to Him. He's the only authority who has a kingdom that never ends. It is by God's design, praise the Lord, it's by His design that today, in this time, we are American citizens. But so much better, by God's grace, that we are citizens of Christ's kingdom. What a wonderful truth. Worship team, I'm going to pray for us. If you'd like to come back up, you can. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You that You don't leave us just to guess at what it means to be a Christian citizen. Thank You that You don't leave us just to guess at why You've put us here. Lord, I pray Your Holy Spirit would use Your word. Remind us who we are in Jesus Christ. Remind us who our King is, no matter what the insanity going on in Washington. Remind us who our King is. No matter what obstacles we are facing in daily life, no matter how many times we get tripped up, God, and fall short, Father, remind us that You are faithful. Remind us that You never fail. That Your word is always true. And God, as we desire to live out Your will and Your ways in this culture, Lord, help us to do it in the power of Your Holy Spirit. God, I can't do half the things I preached about tonight if I try to do it in my flesh. But in the power of Your Spirit, God, I know I can. Help us to stand on Your promises. And Lord, as we live out this mission You've placed us here for, to know You, to make You known to those who don't know You yet, God, fill our hearts with rejoicing for that. What a beautiful calling, God. Fill our hearts with rejoicing that You are with us all the time and that You love us. Lord, we love You back. In Jesus' name, amen.